You're listening to the Washington AI Network podcast, the winner of two 2025 Communicator Awards, one for excellence in the science and technology category and an award of distinction for our episode on healthcare AI, featuring tech legends Ted Leonsis and Grant Verstandig. I'm so thrilled to welcome Charles Worthington, who's the Chief Technology and Chief AI Officer, Veterans Affairs. Welcome.
Welcome.
It's great to be here.
What a time to have this job as technology is rolling out in front of us every day. Can't keep up with the headlines.
Yeah.
And your job is to help all of these veterans. And how many people work at Veterans Administration? Like,
that's over 400,000.
Yes. So you have to teach all of them too, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So I can't wait to hear. Tell us where you are right now. And where do you think this technology is going and how it'll help veterans?
Yeah, this is a really exciting time to have a job like mine. The mission of the Chief Technology Officer is to improve veterans' lives with better software. And I think there's almost been never a more exciting time to have that mission. I think we're on the cusp of one of the most important technological revolutions that I'm going to experience in my lifetime. And I think we're really at the early stages of applying AI to the most important problems that the VA has. And that's really what we're focused on, is figuring out how do we use technology to solve some of those most important problems, to focus the VA, all of its resources and all of its energies on serving veterans.
And what are the problems you're talking about? Connectivity?
Well, yeah, you know, healthcare. The VA does a lot of things, right? We provide healthcare to over 9 million veterans. So we're running a big integrated healthcare network. Lots of doctors, nurses, our VA employees.
Because they are employees.
That's right. We have over 1,200 facilities and we provide healthcare to 9 million veterans. So it makes us one of the biggest integrated healthcare systems in the country. And so AI is really revolutionizing the way we deliver healthcare. Nationwide, but certainly at VA. And so a lot of our focus is on how we can use this technology to help deliver excellent healthcare and to support our clinicians to make sure that they're able to kind of operate at the top of their license. We're looking for opportunities to simplify their jobs, take away drudgery or paperwork so that they can focus less on screens and more on the patients in front of them.
So is that veterans AI, are you using Medicine in the House? What are you using? Are you using Llama did you design your own or how?
Well, we have
doing?
Over 220 AI use cases in operations right now across the VA. So we're using, if you can list it, we're probably using it somewhere in the VA. It's a really big place. And we think of AI as, the large language model or the chatbot that a lot of us have used over the past couple of years. But that's really only one portion of AI that's in use at the VA. We're using things like imaging and radiology scans, things to help detect cancers or other disease on scans. And those are some really exciting opportunities to improve VA healthcare. You know, one really great research study that came out a couple months ago was we are showing that an AI-assisted colonoscopy tool has improved adenoma detection by 21%. Led to an absolute increase of a 4% detection rate in potentially concerning, potentially precancerous conditions. And so 4% is, that's a lot of people when you multiply it against 9 million patients. So we're seeing, not just these chatbots, we're seeing these predictive algorithms, this rise of basically predictive computing is really able to help all over the VA. And that's just on the healthcare side. We haven't even talked about veteran benefits yet.
Okay, I'll get to that in a minute, but where do you get all that data?
Well, the VA...
To make it predictive, yeah.
The VA actually has been a pioneer in electronic health records. Dating back to the 80s and 90s, the VA actually almost invented the electronic health record before digital health was commonplace in this country. VA clinicians and technologists were working together to build an electronic healthcare system. And so we have decades of health data from the VA and increasingly from across the river at the Pentagon from veterans' time in service. Mm-hmm. So all of that data really can be used to help with things like predictive models. And I'm really excited with AI because if any of you are healthcare providers or if you know some in your family, you'll hear a lot about the toil that it comes with being a healthcare provider in modern medicine. It's a lot of basically clerical work. They're typing into a computer what happened in the encounter. They're trying to look up the right piece of data from a screen. And so obviously it's better than having it in paper files that they had to move around, but it's not that much better. And I think AI really gives us an opportunity, maybe for the first time, to really get some of the value out of all that work to digitize that health data, to really surface the exact right information to the clinician at the time they need it from the medical file, and make the practice of medicine easier for the clinicians.
So you're coming out of Pentagon, right? Your military service.
Right.
Is it emailed over? I mean, how does that, because that's a lot of the complaints from, you know, for years about the process of going from one to the other. And the technology you're talking about seems like it would make that all go away.
Well, the VA doctors have access to all of the records from military members' time in service. And we have a big health record project to make that even easier in the future. But already we have better sharing of records than was the case in the past. And all of that data can be used to do things like make predictions about future healthcare. And we've got a great tradition of research and innovation within the VA. You know, a lot of people don't recognize this, but as a big public service health provider, the VA has done things like research studies that led to the creation of the first cardiac pacemaker. The VA researchers invented the nicotine patch. Some of the big first longitudinal studies, clinical trials with diabetes treatment all came from VA research. And so you think of that big research mission, trying to deliver better healthcare for veterans, but also just for Americans, to supercharge that with more powerful computers, more powerful algorithms is a huge opportunity.
And how do you work with companies? And because right now, you know, if you hang around Washington or you hang around the Washington AI Network, you meet a lot of people who are working on this idea and that idea about AI. So when you're talking about helping this many people and veterans, which what's more important, right? How do you make those determinations? Are there rules that apply, or how do you look at it?
Well, I think what we're seeing is an enormous interest in trying to figure out how to apply this approach to new problems. I think anyone that's in the business of selling software is right now scrambling to figure out what is their software going to do in the age of this more probabilistic computing, to use a fancy word, right?
But that is fancy. What does it mean?
Well, so for my whole career,
do you guys
as
know what it means? Anyone know? Some do.
In my whole career as a software engineer, you know, sort of before this moment, we were building systems that we programmed to do specific things. You know, if this, then this. And you write out those very specific conditions in software code, and that system runs in a very predictable and consistent way. We call that deterministic software. Well, these new computing approaches are not necessarily just following instructions as written. They're making predictions, so they're more probabilistic. Either they're, you know, predicting, hey, that, you know, that part of a scan could become a cancer, or they're predicting, you know, what's the right text to respond to Tammy's, you know, great prompt. And so that new mode of computing is very different in some ways than the classical deterministic computing, but it's also very powerful, as we've all seen from the modern chatbots and LLMs.
Is that like early superintelligence?
Well, I'm not the right person to judge what superintelligence is, probably, but...
Guys, can you ask Mark Zuckerberg for me if that qualifies? We'll get back to
you. I think anyone that's used a modern, you know, foundation LLM has been sort of blown away over the past couple of years about what these things can do. And so I think the opportunity to add that sort of capability to the more classic systems that are built to solve a real problem, like decide a veteran's disability claim, or to help schedule an appointment. That software is, you know, not using almost any determinant or probabilistic methods right now. It's not making any predictions, but it maybe could in the future. We could layer in those sorts of helpful assistance, mm-hmm, instead of having to pre-program every specific thing that the system does.
What about the challenges in scaling AI adoption? And how's the agency addressing that?
Yeah.
I'm reading that from my notes because, like, AI adoption, boy, that's a tough one.
You know, I think Like any new technology, there's going to be some people that are really into testing it out and seeing how it works with their job. So my guess is we have a lot of early adopters in this room, but that's not necessarily going to be everyone. Our mission in my office has been to enable the entire workforce with useful AI, make it available to everyone, even though we know that not everyone is going to raise their hand right away to jump in. But we have seen a lot of interest. We've made a generative AI tool available to the whole workforce. Over 100,000 VA employees have signed up to use that tool.
Wow.
And the users of the tool are reporting saving 10 hours a month. And almost more importantly, they're reporting 70% of them report higher job satisfaction.
But a lot of people are afraid of AI. Howard, do you have any studies of the veterans themselves?
Well, for veterans themselves, obviously, our number one job is to maintain veterans' trust in the VA. And we take that really seriously. It's one of our top priorities. And so whether it's an AI system or any other technology system, if a system's going to be storing veteran data, we're putting that system through a rigorous assessment to ensure that it meets the government's high standards for data security and data privacy.
But that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
For all that data security.
It is an important job. And again, we already have to worry about this with things like our claims processing system and our medical record system. So luckily, the government has, I think, pretty well-trod paths for assessing those sorts of things. But certainly, especially new vendors coming in are going to have to meet those standards before we can work with them on sensitive data.
And have those standards changed? Have the rules changed? I know you guys put out a big AI plan earlier this year, but has it changed substantively what you're looking for from companies?
No, I think the most important thing is that it's solving a real problem. I think we're not interested in using AI just because that's the latest buzzword. We have a long list of important things that really matter to veterans, and we're focusing all of our energy on things that matter to veterans. And then within that, we want to make sure that the AI that we are using is very effective and safe, that it can be measured in a way that we can track how well it's working. And so we've got a whole program before we would use AI, especially in a sensitive use case like healthcare benefits, to ensure that it meets our standards before we use it.
Okay. I have my Meta Ray-Ban glasses here, wearables, and only 2 months, only 2 months ago, I had the honor of interviewing Alex Miller, the CTO of the Army, and he talked about how these wearables are changing everything on the front lines. And you're doing the same kind of thing. How are you using them?
Yeah, we have in our health administration, we've got a really interesting pilot going on where we are equipping both veterans and providers with AR and VR. And there's a whole interesting program around that in healthcare. I think one of the things that's really interesting to me personally is, I think this mode of interfacing with a modern chatbot is pretty primitive. It's a text chat interface. I sort of predict that in a couple of years, we're going to look back on these days sort of like the early days of the internet when people are like, oh, can you believe that we used to, do our instant messaging on our laptops? And I think that the ability for the AI to react to your voice, to what you're seeing, and to communicate back with you, both visually and audio, it creates a bunch of new interesting computing paradigms. So obviously, it sounds like you're having fun with your AR glasses.
I have to say.
We could see, I think, a whole new category of ways of interacting with computers that we'll have to track closely.
And what do you hear from veterans about the wearables?
Yeah, well, I know that program has had a lot of success, especially in our mental health programs. Sometimes it can be an interesting way to receive therapy. You can have a group session with other veterans in a virtual reality space, which some veterans might find more comforting than going in person. So there's a lot of different approaches that we're experimenting with, but a lot of things going on.
Is there anything that you feel comfortable telling us about, say, let's stick with the mental health piece, right? Because it's been
such a big issue in AI and actually a big help to many people in AI. How much time do you, or are people spending, veterans spending on AI and mental health, if you're even tracking?
Yeah, we don't track really what veterans are doing, but in terms of how we're using some of this technology to support VA's mission, we are using some of those predictive models to try to ensure that we're targeting our mental health care resources as well as possible. In fact, we have a model called ReachVet, which is a statistical model that basically identifies those veterans that are the very highest risk for suicide. And it helps the VA target their interventions to those veterans, making sure that they're getting the care that they need. And that model has been pretty effective at targeting more interventions towards those that need them the most.
And that's AI. So the AI scans the incoming information?
Yeah, that's
How
right.
Does it
it's,
work?
It's a big statistical model that's taking a lot of different factors from the health record and making a risk prediction, and then basically ranking those risk predictions from, you know, least risky to most risky. Mm-hmm. And then those veterans that are scored as the very highest risks get flagged for extra intervention by their VA healthcare providers.
And what about workforce? Do you guys use it for hiring? I mean, you're the CTO, you're Mr. Chief AI. I'm saluting right now. Those that are listening, what advice do you have in terms of hiring workforce and working with this very, very large workforce?
Well, I think that more and more people are expecting the VA to offer AI tools. I have a chance to teach grad school, and you can see the students are coming out of these programs knowing natively how to use these tools. So I think making the VA a place where you can come to the VA and you have access to the same cutting edge things that you were using in school or at your previous job is going to be really important for us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're filtering AI through almost every type of software that the VA has. As I mentioned, we have over 200 use cases in production as of last year, and we're preparing to release our new AI use case inventory that I think is going to grow even more in the coming months. So it's really going to shape, I think, every piece of software the VA runs, I think will be touched by this technology within the next couple of years.
And do you share that? We have a variety of veterans groups we've discussed earlier here in the room. Do you share that? I mean, does the VA overall share this? Hey, this is really working well. You should consider it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that the administration has really pushed us to do is collaborate with other chief AI officers across the government and to share what's working for us and to basically learn from each other and not reinvent the wheel. So there's been a lot of opportunities to collaborate, which I'm excited about.
I want to go back to the benefits program because the VA does so much on the benefits side. It's one of the great gifts.
Absolutely.
And how has AI changed that?
Well, our opportunity with AI and benefits is to really help deliver really timely benefits to veterans. They earned these benefits. And so any time that we can shave from the time where they're waiting for a decision, especially, is something that we really are focused on. We just announced that there's been, since January, a 49% decrease in the backlog of disability benefit applications.
That's
a great, great milestone.
Definitely applause.
I think the VA did 3 million claims this year, which is the most ever. And part of that is enabled by technology like AI. I don't want you to think of like a big, chatbot making claims decisions. We're really breaking down every step of the claim process and looking at where technology could assist with it, whether it's AI or not. So things that are as simple as, scanning a document and interpreting the text on that document without having a human look at it. Or classifying claims or sorting them so that we don't have to wait for a person to look at the claim and decide which queue it should go in. Those are all little opportunities where we feel like we can shave days here. And I think really we have a lot of opportunity to think of how could we deliver benefits in minutes and not months. And that's really the opportunity we have with AI.
That's incredible, I have to say. I am going to ask you two final questions that we ask every guest. I asked Jensen Wang only 2 weeks ago. I keep mentioning it. What is your first AI? I mean, what is your favorite AI?
My favorite AI? That's a tough one. I mean, I'm a software developer by training and before coming to government, that's what I was working on. And so I really have enjoyed some of the AI-assisted software development tools. And we're using those across our VA workforce as well.
Okay. All right. So he's not going to say. That's okay. That's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Then the other question we ask everyone, what is your favorite prompt? I'm going to read a couple we've collected tonight, which I thought were good.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to give yours, if I may. List what you changed. That's logical. Luke wrote, financial advice. How should I rebalance my portfolio? It's a very excellent question. But yours is my favorite. Giving me winning strategies for my 8-year-old daughter's soccer team. Is that That's a great question.
The Bancroft unicorns.
You guys. Pop unicorns. That's great. Thank you so much, Charles Worthington. You're so great to be here. Thank you for the work you're doing and for helping our veterans so much.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be
here. Thank you all. Thank you for listening to the Washington AI Network podcast. Be sure to subscribe and join the conversation. The Washington AI Network is a bipartisan forum bringing together the top leaders and industry experts to discuss the biggest opportunities and the greatest challenges around AI. The Washington AI Network podcast is produced and recorded by Haddad Media. Thanks for listening.